Hello and welcome to All Things Art Podcast. Today's first episode in collaboration with Kindness Matters Studios, featuring Kim Moore as the artist. My name is Catherine Spicer and my nickname is Zill. And we welcome you and thank you for listening to our podcast. So we would like to introduce ourselves in this first episode, and I will turn it over to you, Kim. Tell me a little bit about when you first became an artist or first knew that you were going to be an artist.
Hi, I'm Kim. I actually started art really, really young. I started at 2 years old because my mom was a professional artist. And so she taught me as soon as I could hold any object. But I didn't really know that that was what I wanted to do until very recently, because I had a little bit of hesitancy. She was a professional artist. She died when I was young, and everyone just kept saying like, oh, that's what you're going to do. You're going to be an artist. And I resented that. I was like, you don't know that. And so I even did like a year of art school and then dropped out and tried to become a doctor and just tried to do a bunch of other things. And then ended up coming full circle. And last year threw myself in to really grow. And it became immediately obvious, this is what I'm going to be doing anyways. I should just keep growing and working on this craft.
That's great. Yeah, I think a lot of artists kind of come to it in that way. So for me, same thing. I was a kid. I went to very small schools growing up. They didn't have art programs, but they would always give me the birthday card or the get well card or something. And I had 30 kids in my class that would all hand me the paper and say, well, you're the class artist. You know, I was like, okay, I guess that's what I am. But growing up too, I felt like it was more of a hobby. I kind of felt like you couldn't really make a living doing art. I felt like I had to find some other calling. I had to find some other pathway to make a living, that just really wasn't going to be viable. I felt like if I went to college to try to do an art degree, I just felt like that was a dead end situation. And unless I wanted to take up education in art, that I didn't really see a pathway to having a career as an artist. Also because the idea would be that you would have to bring something totally unique to the table to have a career. So I as well kind of came to it much later. It was 2003. I started painting and selling my work online. And from 2003 to 2005, that's what I did for a living. So why that ended up happening, I can't really remember. We had started working for ourselves, selling things online, and we kind of started playing around with doing art. And I made this one little piece of art and put it up, and it took me 30 minutes to do it. And all of a sudden the bidding went crazy on it, and it sold for $75. And I thought, I might need to reevaluate what I'm doing here and try to do the art thing. So been kind of an off again, on again scenario. Consistency is probably the biggest struggle. But in 2016, I decided to open an art gallery here in town, because just looking around, there were not enough spaces for artists to show their work. And I talked about it for probably about 2007 till 2016. So for about 9 years, I spoke about it with all sorts of different artists, but there were no really solutions coming up. And so finally it was kind of put your money where your mouth is. And I just went ahead and opened my own space. So we did that for about 3 years. And then, you know, as so many people are affected right now by the pandemic, it's been a transformative experience. I know for you, it kind of helped you become more of an artist.
Yeah. Made me be consistent. That consistency thing, that's yes. It right there. Yes. So I never stopped painting. I've been painting the whole time, but I got consistent. That's what it was.
And it really makes a difference. I think I've seen multiple artists kind of evolve through the course of being in lockdown, because they finally had the opportunity to focus on it and have their work or come to them in a different way and get the chance to actually focus on their art career and what they wanted to do.
I have a question for you.
Okay.
What's your favorite kind of art that you make, that you're making right now? Like, what's your style that you're just kind of having a fun time with?
My favorite art, regardless, usually involves texture.
Oh.
I love to touch paintings, and I like to make paintings that you can touch. So I hardly ever paint anything flat. It either has a built-up texture that you can feel, or I use different mediums that create texture, you know, so that it comes off the canvas.
Yeah.
If I'm doing something in canvas.
Do you get in trouble at art museums for trying to touch the paintings?
No comment.
No comment. That's really common. A lot of art professors will get in trouble at art museums. They get so comfortable with art, and then they'll be like, hey, sir, you can't touch the painting. And they'll be like, oh, sorry.
Yeah, no, I mean, yeah, if you've hung art, you start to feel really comfortable with, oh, I can get really close to this. You want to see like, what did they use here? What is this? This is interesting. What does this feel like? You know, you want to get up close to it. So yeah, if I go to look at it, I'm usually getting way too close. And if I can touch, sometimes I'll sneak that little, what's this made of kind of thing.
That's so funny, because lately everybody who I show my art, that's the first thing they say is, can I touch it? And they'll like feel it. And I'm always like, yes, of course. But it's not a response I used to get. And so I'm kind of loving this new response of, can I touch it? Can I feel this art? And I'm like, yeah.
So you're really affecting them a little more deeply with what you're doing right now.
Yeah. Yeah. I definitely am. It's different from my old style for sure.
Is there a particular type of painting, or I'm sorry, a different type of art that is your favorite to make?
Oh, for sure. Right now I am into ridiculously colorful abstract.
Great.
That is my jam. It is my favorite. And I've had to wrap my mind around it, because I was so praised for realistic art for so long. Mm-hmm. And rewarded. That's how I made my living, was doing pet portraits and people portraits. And that's commission work, was how I survived. And so pulling away from that and actually doing what I want to do has been a little challenging to the ego, because people aren't as ready to be like, oh my gosh, it looks like a puppy, you know. They're like, oh wow, they want to touch it. It's a different response. They want to touch it.
Response. That's interesting. It's interesting that using the really bright colors is evoking touch.
Isn't that wild? I didn't see because, that. I don't have a ton of texture. So I'm always like, huh.
That is interesting. It's almost is it usually artists wanting to touch?
No, it's non-artists. Yeah,
that's interesting.
Which I love. I'm loving seeing people who aren't that comfortable creating themselves get really excited. And I've had a lot of people ask, will you paint with me? Can you show me how to make things like this? And I'm thrilled. Like, yes, absolutely.
Oh, wow. So you really are influencing these people that are seeing your art. That's a great outcome.
Yeah. I want to do like a little, you know, workshop where I just get people messy and throw paint down. Like, it's a little Jackson Pollock style, like, let's just fling paint, but it's so much fun. And I feel like it's really good if you're nervous about making art, because it doesn't have to look like something.
Yes. And I think it's very therapeutic for people. Yes. We really haven't had the chance to get messy since we were children. And even as children, we might've gotten in trouble for that. So to be given permission to get messy or make a mess, that is sometimes really important for people in a therapeutic way, because it kind of transports you back to childhood when you used to play with mud pies and finger paints and things like that. So it gets you into that mode, and it engages your senses a little differently. So it's very escapism, very therapeutic to give that permission.
Yeah. You
know, messy and to play with colors and textures and the feel of paint. And
well, especially since it'll be in my space, so they don't have to worry about cleaning up. I'm like, just make a horrible mess. It's fine.
Well, as long as you have enough drop cloths or plastic drop cloths that you can just toss away. Can't really recycle them.
I've been painting on the same plastic one for a while. I'm a frugal beast.
You can create your own art doing that. I have multiple tables that have multiple layers of messy paint on them that are their own works of art by now.
Oh, for sure. You know,
I could just hang them on the wall and be like, yeah, this is my show.
Do it. That would be the coolest show ever.
Yeah. We might have to work on that. Get multiple tables and just create a whole bunch of stuff on it, and then show the tables at the end of X number of amount of time or something.
And people bring their palettes that they don't clean. You know, my mom had a palette that she never cleaned, and I still paint with it. And so it's got just so many layers. And like you're saying, it's like a sculpture. It's this long standing testament of time.
All the creativity that flowed through that palette.
Yeah.
It's really cool. Well, I know you had a couple of other questions on your notebook there. So let's cover those in our first episode here so we can kind of lay some groundwork.
Well, I'm a note taker. I have a lot of notes. Sure. My question to you was really, what is art to you? How would you kind of put a definition on it?
Well, art for me is kind of interesting because most people are capable of being creative, but people who really gravitate towards being artists, either most of the time or all of the time, for me, it can be a reflection of society. Artists usually are kind of blaze the trail or put things out there ahead of time. They see things coming and they can put them into the art and show people kind of a reflection of their society of not only how they are now, but where they're going or where they've been. But art in general, I think, sets us apart. It's one of the things that makes us very human. Because even though there are animals that might make decorative nests, I think art is something that sets us apart as human beings. We can communicate with it. It is one thing that is very universal.
Yeah.
It transcends language. It transcends, most of the mechanisms that we use to communicate. You can take the same piece of art all around the world and show it to every human being. They're all going to have a different reaction to it, but they're not going to see it as something that is outside of their understanding. So it's a great way to communicate across all cultures. It comes from a part of your brain that I think is very human. And it is an energy. It's an energy of manifestation. You have an idea in your head and you're trying to put that out into the world. May or may not come out the way that you wanted to, may come out completely different and may take on a life of its own. Yes. So it is one of the only places, whether it be regular visual art or film, music, whatever form the art takes, it's probably the only mechanism for human beings to sort of tap into that creative energy or that energy of, manifesting things.
Yeah.
So it's a really unique human tool. I think it's just something that sets us apart. Maybe one of the things that makes us more sentient.
Yeah. Something popped into my head as you were saying that almost reminded me of the Lorax. Like, I am the Lorax. I speak for the trees. You're almost like, we are the artists and we speak for the people.
Yeah.
It just popped into my brain. I love that idea. That's a beautiful definition of art.
So what is your definition of art?
I think it's, art is one of the, very much what you said, like you touched on so many things. The only thing I would add is it is that universal creation. It's that, like you said, the opportunity to make something new, to tap into almost a stream of consciousness that you have to be real sensitive, feel, like you're saying, like to feel the feelings around you and what's going on and to be able to represent that. And the only other thing I could say is if we could say it all in words, we would, but obviously we can't. Otherwise, yes. That's why we need art. That's why we need visual, dance, movies, music, to try and speak of what's unspeakable. It's trying to represent these things that are so deep and just not easily represented. And so it's quite the challenge, and it's really exciting to be a part of.
It's exciting to be a part of, but some people also find it to be a challenge because if you're not supported in that process, you see the world a little differently. Sometimes that makes people feel isolated or misunderstood. And too,
it's hard being a sensitive individual. It's hard.
In an insensitive world.
Yeah. It's hard feeling everything so deeply.
Yeah.
I noticed that across, like you said, artists of all areas, they feel it so deeply that they can't help but reflect that. And so that's not an easy task. I can see that.
So it's what I consider to be like an extra task. If it's something that's constantly kind of burning inside of you and ideas constantly coming into your brain, it's something extra that you have to, I don't want to say deal with or whatever, but address. For people who don't really live an artistic life, they just kind of have less on their plate.
Yeah, that must be
as
nice.
As far as... we've got the job, we got the kids, we got the house. There's no need for studio time.
That's the funny thing is I really do believe everybody is an artist, and all it takes, if you want to make some meaningful, deep art, all you have to do is crack open that vulnerability, be willing to feel something, be willing to be a little afraid, a little unhinged for just a few moments. And my God, there will be things that flow out of you.
And it could be in different ways too. You know, I probably shouldn't couch it that way, that there's not additional things, because there are, as far as, you know, maybe it comes out in cooking.
Yes.
You know, baking.
Oh yeah.
You know, how you fix up your house, how you make a piece of furniture, or, you know, how you renovate something, or the creativity is always there for people to tap into and use. And it also needs to be kind of cultivated for people, because it can help, you know, get you through life.
Yeah. Tapping
problem into solving.
Yeah. Tapping into creativity is so important.
Yeah. And that's one of the reasons why we need a lot more art programs in schools, is to encourage creativity, either writing, music, you know, art class, any of those things that cultivate creativity, help people going forward with being able to come up with solutions to things.
It's just this incredible thing. The fact that we can mix and match parts to make new things. It just blows my mind. I do have another question for you.
Okay.
All right. So why do you make art? Is it something you choose consciously, or do you kind of feel like you have no choice?
I don't make art often enough, but I see art everywhere.
Ooh.
I remember I knew that I liked to take pictures of manhole covers and sides of buildings with some rust on them, or things like this. You know, I just saw patterns in wood. I just saw art everywhere. But it was kind of funny when we took a trip up to Washington, D.C. to visit one of the museums. We were there to look at some of the planes associated with the military. My father actually had one of the planes, or helicopters, I'm sorry, in the museum, but it was in a storage area. And we went back to the storage area, and I was walking along looking at the floor. And for whatever reason, the floor looked like it looked very dark, but it looked like it had had almost like some resin or something that just spilled on it in these various places. And I just kept staring at the floor and seeing all these different patterns. And finally, I think one of the wife of my father's friend, I think, was almost getting annoyed with me. And she was the one that said, "You just see art everywhere." 'Cause I was like, "Oh, look at this floor." Yeah. I think she was thinking I was a little weird.
That's awesome though.
But no, I do see it everywhere. I don't make it often enough. My pathway has all been towards helping other people display their art, learning how to sell art online, wow, dealing with, you know, trying to, like, for example, this podcast is finally getting off the ground with your help, but talking about the process.
Yeah.
So it's been a lot of kind of art related things, but just sitting down and getting a chance to paint, yeah. I need to commit to doing that more often.
Okay. I met you through the gallery, so I can definitely attest that you are quite the like champion for artists. I just loved working with you, because I came in from, and I hadn't been showing in quite a while, just doing those commissions, and I came in with original art, and it felt so good to be like, look, no one asked me to make this. I just made it.
And I remember your art so clearly. You did present it in a somewhat vulnerable way, because you said, look, the only chance I'm getting to make art is kind of with my kids. Yeah. In the process, you know, I'm kind of looking for art supplies, and I've made these pieces on some cardboard.
Yeah, they were cardboard and what was it? That one that's egg-based, tempera and cardboard.
Yes, yes. But the pieces just stood out in that way. You had some fantastic sacred geometry. You had a tree of life, and you had a flower with the sacred geometry. And they were just these very unique, striking pieces on this very, you know, simple substrate. But we talked about it. We said there are actually very famous works of art that are done on cardboard and made with tempera and things like that, that you're not out there on your own. You know, you're kind of in good company with some of this stuff. And
I needed that encouragement. I did, because I was feeling so shabby. You know, I was so broke, and I just felt so shabby bringing my cardboard pieces in, and you being like, these are great. Masters work on cardboard. I needed that so bad. It was,
they were just so unique. And the thing was, is even though you know, you're dealing with cardboard, which you could consider to be shabby, the juxtaposition of the cardboard being so simple, but the design that you had on it was so precise, because you're using the geometry and the colors, you know, you use very contrasting colors. So they stood out. And I thought they were very eye-catching, because so much art is just, you know, on the typical 16 by 20, you know, buy 10 of them at Michael's canvases. And here you are using something completely unique. And it caught people's attention, and it made them stop and kind of look of what's going on here.
Yeah.
Type of thing. So
yeah. And the cardboard was even like the back of cereal boxes. So it was like the most scrap cardboard you could get, you know,
all the better. Cause that's, it's totally recycled, you know, zero waste. Zero waste is a big thing nowadays.
That was my jam, was zero waste art for a little while there.
Yeah. You were a master using just whatever you had handy to make art. And what I thought was so amazing about it was that champion energy of just like, I want to participate in this show. I want to make some art. I want to bring it there. You know, I am going to feel weird submitting this, you know, but you did it anyway. And you know, you had the bravery to say, I want to get in here. I want to step out of my comfort zone, or I want to put my work out there.
Well, then I brought like a very formal artist statement and placed it next to it.
All the better. All the better.
And all the other artists were like, what is this artist statement? And so then everybody started making artist statement. I was like, this is awesome.
It is awesome because that's the first level. As far as the way that we did the gallery in the beginning, we had everyone participate for free. So if you wanted to put artwork in, it was free. The next year we did $5, and the next year we did $10. So the barrier was never very high.
Yeah.
So I would say, oh gosh, it's way over. I don't want to go quite 99%, but it seemed like it was pretty close, that the artists that were showing with us were brand new. If they were not brand new and had never shown their work, they were probably on their second showing of their work. Yeah. And beyond that, we had one particular artist come who said, I haven't shown my work for 30 years.
Yeah.
And said, you know, I want to get brave and get back out there. Yeah. So we really had a lot of people that were very new to the process. And yeah, the artist statement and just all of those type bio, you know, framed bio and just kind of the basics of submitting stuff weren't there because it wasn't required. And I also think that was one of the reasons why we got a lot of new artists, is we were less intimidating because we weren't demanding all of these things that they needed just to show their work. So
yeah, it was a welcoming, supportive environment. I still follow quite a few of the artists. It's been fun watching them grow. And
it's been great to see the community that kind of came out of that. There's a handful of people that are still friends to this day and encourage each other and talk to each other through Facebook and the other social medias. And we want to get back to it. You know, we're working. Our goal this year is to get a fundraiser on its feet to get a space back. And I think this next space is going to be something that's a little bit more in the public eye, and then just kind of keep going from there.
Yeah. I love that you're providing a space for new artists, brand new, or people like me. I was not new at all, but just like you said, had been out of it for a while. And a space to come back and just throw it out there. You know, it's an intimidating thing to throw your art out there. So
it is. I was surprised by how many people actually came through the door, were terrified.
Yeah.
I mean, they were literally shaking.
Yeah. And you're so nice. So like,
handing me the art, and I just saw what a difficult, you know, how brave they were having to be, you know, to come there.
Well, that's why you're the perfect person for this, because you do have an open energy and you're really nice in a real way, not just like, oh, you know, but like, you know, point out the strengths and help us pick, you know, our best pieces for the particular show. And it was
I just see how much it affects people. I just see how healing art is and how much in this area we need so much more. But I'm going to use that as a segue, because we're getting close to time, as to what it is that we're trying to accomplish with this particular podcast. Wow. This podcast is called All Things Art. So we want to discuss all things art. In the process, you have created the Kindness Matters Studios, which I love the fact that you put an important statement in the name of your studios to remind people that kindness matters. And I think the things kind of dovetail nicely in that you see how art is a healing tool and something that we need a lot more of in the world.
Yes.
So we want to use this podcast as a way to highlight the work, share links, share the artwork, share the conversation, We may talk with other artists. We also can provide a lot of information for artists that are listening to this podcast as to where to find supplies or services, or, you know, maybe even just encouragement if they're down and not really knowing what they want to do with themselves.
Yeah.
Is there anything that you want to add to what you want to accomplish with this podcast?
Oh, yeah. For me, I have a pretty, I'm solid on the message that I'm trying to get forth. And it's that you're not alone in the world, because so many of us feel so isolated, especially with the pandemic. We realized how isolated we really feel. And so this idea that you're not alone. And with Kindness Matters Studio, that whole thing is sometimes it feels so despairing. And for me, someone who struggles with depression, I had to anchor to something. And so I was like, I want to be kind to other people. And I was like, that's great. And I realized very quickly that I can't be kind to other people unless I'm kind to myself. And that was an incredibly healing journey. And so that's my main message, is to be kind to yourself. And then you're able to be kind to others. And once you do that, we can make all these small steps to change the world. And I do feel like art is a vehicle for that. I think creativity is a vehicle for that. And so that is like the core of my whole thing here. No big deal.
Just trying to change the world.
Just change the world. It's fine.
But you got to do it one person at a time, and you got to do it as, you know, just like people talk about random acts of kindness, and you talk about Kindness Matters, is you've got to start with things every day, you know, little things. Yeah. And encouraging people to, you know, to keep going. I think creativity is so important to just the energy of the world or the energy of the human race. And so to try to encourage it everywhere that it can be,
yeah,
I think is super important. Anything else that you want to add before I throw in a wrap up?
I think we pretty much covered all of the necessary
intro stuff. Well, we thank you if you have tuned in to this episode and listened. I believe for right now, we're going to be releasing this podcast onto the Podbean network and also out onto Spreaker. So you'll be able to find it on iHeart if you have that app, or Spotify if you have that app, possibly iTunes. I haven't seen if there's extra steps for that, but that is part of one of the services. For right now, we're doing our recording on Thursdays. So we're going to make it a goal to be releasing our episodes on Thursdays. We'll see if we record one week and release the next. It depends on how long it's going to take to edit. But we will consistently come up with a release time and date or time or day of the week or something like that, so that if you are enjoying these episodes, you are looking forward to them, that you will consistently get them delivered to you. That's our commitment.
Yeah, we have so much good stuff that we want to talk about. This was just the tip of the iceberg.
Just the intro. yeah, I'm really looking forward to getting into some of the topics that we're going to discuss. As you see, just in our first episode, it goes pretty quick. You know, we have a lot of stuff to talk about, and we're really hoping to help a lot of people out there. And we'll set up our structure so that you'll be able to also send in your questions and communicate with the podcast in general. But for now, anything else that you wanted to add?
Just try and be kind to yourself today. One little way. That's all I ask. Do something good for you.
That's a good, message. Again, thank you for joining us today. We will be seeing you or talking to you in our next episode.
Bye. Thank you.
Bye.